This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody, broadcasting from the live at the Loft at Petco Park. We are live, of course. Mike Shildt right now is live ahead of game four of the playoffs tonight. Let's listen in.
You know, wasn't a short start, the first start, but wasn't a long one. He's had rest after that. But just, you know, more of a, you know, conversation, take his temperature, and he was jumped all over it. He was like, yeah, I need to pitch. I want to go pitch. And so I followed up with him and talked to him about it, and, you know, he feels good. And at that point, when he was so convicted about it, it became a pretty simple decision, quite honestly.
Do you manage differently? How do you manage knowing that he will be going on short rest and kind of what that means in terms of
we manage the game on what we see in front of us. I mean, he's on short rest, but he was pretty convicted to me yesterday. He's like, I don't want to be treated like I've got, you know, 30 pitches, but he doesn't. He's got what he needs to perform. Of course. That's the reason we're doing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse?
Mike, how much was a factor in that decision in terms of what the workload was in game one for him?
The factor in the decision was a part of the workload, part of the rest he'd had prior to that because he'd had extended rest. And then the fact we got, if we need it, Yu Darvish for game five. So it's, you know, all the calculus ended up to a pretty 2+2=4.
A few more for Mike. Dennis on the left.
Mike, the base running play Manny made last night, it seemed like even some people in the game didn't know the rule until last night when it happened. How long have you known it? How long have you been kind of teaching it or practicing it?
25, 30 years maybe. Yeah, probably at least 25. You know, the one that's more familiar is that one, you know, especially with maybe a left-handed hitting, you know, first baseman running inside. Because you could, again, clearly now it's, the rules have been documented, but also use it from the ground ball at third base or fly ball on the left field line for the runner at third. You know, he can run inside as much as he wants to, you know, interrupt the throwing lane. So, yeah, we've been working on it. It's a great baseball play by Manny, clearly, you know, very heads up, but something that, you know, we've worked on and he executed it in a big moment.
On a similar note, 3 years ago, I think he was facing your team, the Cardinals, and he upended Tommy Edman between first and second. Just the instincts to do that. I know that's another thing that you probably teach as well, but just his general instincts as a base runner, what do you make of them?
Manny's just got an exceptionally high baseball IQ on display last night, you know, the play you mentioned several years ago. He just knows the game and plays the game, and
He's been a big part of us. You know, we talk a lot of baseball here. We make sure we're doing everything we can in every moment to be prepared and execute based on the situation. And so we talk a lot about it. And Manny's conversations and our ball talks and his spring training have really, you know, been able to bring people with him.
We're in the back row on the left.
Hey, Mike. Dylan, throughout the season, has proven himself to be a competitive guy that's up for a challenge. I mean, he showed that, especially in the no-hitter, wanting to stay out there.
That's right.
How beneficial is that in a situation like this?
Big time. You know, I mean, listen, he could have easily said, you know, I need my regular rest. But he had felt rested and wanted to compete from the other day. So, yeah, his desire to do it is a big part of driving this. I mean, you know, we don't let the players get what they want every day, but we do listen to them and we do trust them. And, you know, I trust Dylan completely, and his competitive spirit's going to show up again tonight.
And you guys play in front of sellouts all the time, but what's it been like for you just to see it continue to grow in the atmosphere? I mean, like, it's always sold out, but it just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger with all these games.
Yeah, no, I mean, the atmosphere here all year has been, you know, a lot of adjectives for it, electric, you know, passionate, enthusiastic, all the different superlatives you want to say to it. But it's only continues to escalate in a very healthy manner. And the groups, you know, the fans are with us, man. They're with us and they're pushing us and they're pulling for us like crazy. And it continues to be a really fun atmosphere for sure.
Barry, in the front.
Hey, Mike. So on your choice of Darvish, does that basically either have a game five or a game one on Sunday? Does that mean that he's the game one starter if there's not a game five?
We'd love to name you game one starter, yes, sir.
So you do? You have the name to be game one starter?
I think that'd be reasonable, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, Barry.
Bryce, down here on the left.
Hey, Mike, how important in retrospect was what AJ did at the deadline? Could have picked different priorities, could have done nothing, could have went after a starting pitcher. But this bullpen in particular, last night's game, perfect example. They hit the grand slam at 6-5, and the bullpen holds the line, which they've done a lot lately in big games. How important was that prioritization at the trade deadline?
Huge. I mean, you know, AJ recognizes that, you know, AJ's putting together a team that's looking to be built for, you know, winning a World Series, which is where we're heading. And you know, bullpens are big parts of that. I mean, I think you can look at any successful team that makes a deep run in the playoffs, and you're going to have a deep bullpen. And so, to AJ's credit, he recognized that. He also did pick up a starter in Perez that helped us out, too, and won some games for us. But, yeah, you know, that bullpen and being able to your point last night, in close ball games against good teams, that's separator a lot of times.
But AJ, and then we'll go to Marty in the middle.
Along those same lines, can you kind of go into the human element of that bullpen and the way those guys came in and just kind of fit right away? And a guy like Tanner Scott, who was an all-star closer, coming in, taking a different role and thriving in it, and the guys that you had maybe going into different roles and the way that all came together?
Yeah, no, I mean, Tanner, Jason Adam, both came in. Jason has got some closing experience. You know, Scott's obviously an all-star closer this year. But both of them came in and very clear, like, wherever you need me. And at first you're like apprehensive, like, you're going to pitch the seventh in a lane that makes sense for you? He goes, yeah. And then you do it and you see no apprehension. He does it and does his job and passes the ball. Adam's been able to take multiple roles in different areas. So, you know, Suarez is open-minded about being in different roles, you know, based on matchups and different parts of the game. So, to Bryce's point, you know, having the bullpen that's deep is important. Having the bullpen that's willing to pitch in the best matchups, regardless of inning, and putting their ego aside to it for the team is also extremely important.
Go to Marty in the third row. Yeah, get to the mic.
Mike, not too long ago, there was some discussion about Robert Suarez's role as closer, all options on the table. What did he show you last night with that four-out save?
Robert's been great for us all year. He's been really good lately. It was his spot, you know, with the part of the order. You know, Scott got his spot at the top. You know, Adam's guy that can go anywhere in the seventh. And then, you know, Robert showed what he does. You know, he comes in and gets after it. And I love the fact that, you know, he's throwing the two-seamer more, got the four-seamer going. But he's also, to Muncy and Lux, you know, he threw that changeup. And he gets the changeup going, throws that more consistently, which he has more lately. Now it's another weapon to a pretty special arsenal.
And with that, we start what we hope will be one of the greatest days of our lives. Yes, indeed. It is Game 4 of the National League Division Series coming up tonight from Petco Park. And getting you ready for it, of course, your friends, your guys, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Of course, you were listening to Mike Shildt. That was live press conference downstairs here at Petco Park. You now know as much as the rest of us do. Heading into Game 4, of course, it'll be Dylan Cease on the mound for the Padres. And for the second time in 3 years, they will be hoping to close out the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm broadcasting live from the loft here at the top of the Western Metal Supply Company building. Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at that press conference right now. And we'll for other pregame press conferences that we will bring you throughout the show today. Matt Scraby is back in our Odyssey Palace studios. And, of course, Tony will be joining the program later. Scraby joins the show now. And, Scraby, I welcome you in with this today. Just for you, I wanted to let you know that in 3 hours and 58 minutes, Shohei Ohtani will come to bat.
Oh, that's so nice. I needed to know that. And you know why I needed to know that? Because he's likely going to either strike out or hit some flare, you know, that gets caught. So,
well, let's hope so. I don't even want
to put it out in the universe because
don't
he
put
scares
it out there.
Me
he
that
took,
much.
He took one to the fence last night.
I know.
That was caught by Jackson Merrill. Shohei Ohtani is still scary. But Fox TV's coverage of Shohei Ohtani has really rankled Scraby this week. And the notion that every time he's about 10 batters away, they start putting it up on the screen. So I thought I'd let you know that it's now 3 hours and 57 minutes before Shohei Ohtani will step into the batter's box today. But
they should actually put Fernando up there because that's actually a show, okay?
Fernando is absolutely ungodly right now. And, of course, he hit the big two-run home run last night. He is only the second player in Major League history to have four home runs and no strikeouts over a five-game span in the postseason. The only other guy to do it did it nearly 100 years ago, and his name is, Lou Gehrig.
Yes.
So, you know, Fernando, I mean, the fact that he hasn't struck out, anybody who's watched Fernando Tatis Jr. play for, you know, the entirety of his Padre career knows that you're going to have to mix in a couple of strikeouts. He's going to fall for that slider off the corner, right, and swing at least once or twice a game. But no, they can't even get him out on that pitch right now. And he's on an absolute heater, and hopefully he'll keep it going tonight. Padres won last night. 6-5 was the final. If you were watching that game, and I imagine most of us were, or you were at the game, when Teoscar Hernandez hit that grand slam in the third inning, if somebody would have told you that 6-5 would be the final score of the game, you would have said, come on, there's no way. But that's exactly what happened. The Padres' offense was put to bed the rest of the way. But more importantly, so was the Dodgers' offense. The Padres' pitchers retired 20 of the last 21 batters. The only base runner the Dodgers had was a single by Freddie Freeman in the eighth inning. He was pinch run for and immediately left there at first base when Robert Suarez got the first of his four-out save. It was a phenomenal performance. And, you know, I know the bullpen is getting a lot of the credit today, and, you know, they certainly deserve it. Estrada had a perfect inning. Jason Adam had a perfect inning. Tanner Scott got two outs. But, boy, were they big ones. He got Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts. So, you know, if you had two outs to get, he got them. And then, of course, Suarez finished it off. But do not forget that immediately after giving up a grand slam, the low point of your day, your night, maybe your season, Michael King regrouped, and he retired the next eight batters he faced before he left the game. And I thought that was as big as anything that happened last night. other than Manny Machado's brilliant base running play. So yeah. We're going to talk about Manny's play in depth here in the next segment. Either in the next segment or soon, because we may have some more interviews to bring you from Petco Park. But Mike Shildt said it in his press conference. I'll just say the same thing because I can't add to it. Manny Machado's baseball IQ is beyond off the charts. And what he did last night in that moment turned into one of the great base running plays I've ever seen. And it set the stage for that six-run rally and, set the stage for a Padre victory. It was something, Scraby. And I don't think any of us at the time thought he was allowed to get away with that.
I will admit, Chris, that I was at the game. I turned to the person I was with at the game watching the replay, and I said, wow, Padre's got away with one there because he's definitely out of the base path. And then I went online and I saw all of the actual either umpires or people in the know of the rules explaining it. And that is intangibles that you can't teach. Manny has said that he's been working on this since he started playing for Buck Showalter, and this is the first time in his career he's ever had a chance to use it. So what a time for him to realize that this was the right move for him, and he was completely legal in doing it. And not only that, so many of the fans out there are so mad that he actually made a legal play that they're not willing to believe that it's legal.
Yeah, I tweeted out after the game that Manny, brilliance was on display there. But I also felt, Scraby, that he got away with one.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that was somehow legal, that you can run that far inside the baseline. I've been, we've all been watching baseball. Guys get called out of the baseline all the time. I thought, he can't run that far inside on the grass. But I also knew something else was wrong. Because Dave Roberts did not
exactly
come out to argue
at all.
And I thought, where is Dave Roberts? If I was managing right now, I would be throwing a fit out there. But Dave Roberts obviously knew the rule, too. There was no reason to argue because they weren't going to change it.
I've been seeing a lot of criticism for him not arguing it. Now, I'd like for him to maybe go out there, if I'm a fan, and maybe clarify it, sure. But what's the point? If you know that the rule is the rule,
yeah,
and they're not going to overrule it, then why stop?
Yeah, the other guy who didn't say anything was Freddie Freeman, because Freddie Freeman knew exactly what was going on.
Yep.
He threw the ball. Now, Miguel Rojas, the shortstop, did argue some with the second base umpire, and he was saying what the rest of us were thinking, which was, how can he get away with that? But, obviously that argument fell on deaf ears. It's an unbelievable play, and it's a play that only somebody with an insane baseball IQ can make under those circumstances. And if you didn't love Manny Machado after the meeting he called in the dugout after game two, or during game two, maybe now you appreciate Manny for what he can do. Anything that is asked to help you win a ball game.
You mentioned Freddie Freeman. He said after the game, too, he was just like, that's what I would have done as well. So it's so funny to me how people are still so angry, even though everybody's like, this is completely fine. It was just a great play. It's hilarious to me.
It was a great play. A great play that's going to be remembered for a long time. And you know, Scraby, how much I love when a little base running play wins a game and becomes a memorable play.
Yes.
Because I know everybody else loves home runs. They love strikeouts, grand slams. I like all that stuff. But I love it more when it's some little detail, like the one that Manny Machado used last night, that helps you win, one of the bigger games in franchise history. And, of course, in order for that to be the case, the Padres have to finish it up tonight. All right, so we're underway. Heard from Mike Shildt live. We'll hear from some other Padre players here during the program. Some pregame press conferences going on here at Petco Park. We will, just get you ready for game four. I mean, this is going to be some kind of scene. We all know that at Petco tonight. Russ Dorsey is going to join us a little bit later on from the MLB Network. So, just sit back, relax. I mean, this is a day to hopefully be a Gloria-filled day. And as Marv Levy, the old coach of the Buffalo Bills, you remember Marv Levy at all, Scraby?
Yes, I do.
Does that name ring a bell?
Yes.
He was in four Super Bowls, and he lost them all.
He looked like a very nice man.
But Marv Levy had one of my all-time favorite sayings, and he used to look at his team before they ran out to play, and he would say, "Is there any place you'd rather be than right here, right now?" And the answer to that question, if you're at Petco Park tonight,
is... I was just about to say, I'm in studio.
I know, you're in studio, but for me and everybody else who's going to be down at Petco Park tonight, Scraby, that is affirmative. There is no place anybody would rather be than right here, right now. Gwynn and Chris getting started. Padres-Dodgers, game four. Will it be the clincher? Well, we got to wait a while to find out. But in the meantime, let's enjoy some Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back. Looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. And it is a six-run second inning. Shouldn't be surprised that the Padres put a six on the board last night. Remember, they had more five-run plus innings than any team in baseball this year, and they've already done it two or three times in the playoffs. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, everybody, broadcasting live, at least I am today, from the loft at the Western Metal Supply Company building, right at the top, and I know everybody will be jamming in here once they open the gates in an hour or so. For tonight's Game 4 of the Padres-Dodgers National League Division Series, Tony Gwynn Jr. will be on the program with us a little bit later as he sits downstairs right now going through all the pregame press conferences, which you will hear more of as we go along. Scraby is back keeping it all together at the Odyssey Palace Studios. You know, going back to the Fernando home run, the thing that should stick in everybody's mind, and what sticks in my mind, is the arrogance of the Dodgers, and it cost them. Either the arrogance of the Dodgers or the arrogance of Walker Buehler, one or the other, but it cost them. The count, Scraby, was 0-2. And how did it get to 0-2? Well, Buehler threw two fastballs past Fernando Tatis Jr. And we talked about this already in the first segment. How many times have all of us seen Fernando with two strikes chase a slider, a curveball, down and away in the dirt?
A lot.
How many? 1,000?
I mean, when he's
I don't mean it like that, but yeah, I mean,
when he's not going well, he does
that. Right. Now, he is going well now, but you have got to try that pitch before you throw a third fastball. And to me, it was just flat out arrogance to think, you know, we got two past him. We should be able to get a third one past him. And he made them pay the ultimate price. I mean, that home run's the difference in the game. I am stunned that the Dodgers would make that kind of a mistake in that situation.
They're a heavy analytics team, too, so
I don't get it. I mean, Fernando always swings at that curveball outside, and even if he doesn't, you know, you at least set something else up. But they came right back with a third fastball, and he crushed it, obviously. And, you know, that to me is an arrogant statement by the Dodgers that was answered by Fernando Tatis Jr.
Now Fernando, I don't know. I've seen Fernando pumped up before, but I don't know if I've ever seen Fernando like that. Earlier in the day, he was called a dancing peacock, and then later on Instagram, he put up a picture of himself, and he put a dancing peacock down below. But, yeah. I mean, this is the most locked in I have ever seen this guy.
And let's just hope it continues, right? I mean, with something like this, the Dodgers, I mean, the guy that, you know, they thought would control the series was, you know, going to be Shohei.
Yeah.
And, you know, so far, the Padres have done their thing against him. He had a hit last night, but he's only had one at bat with a runner on base since the first game. All right. Game two, he never came to bat with anybody on. And last night he came to bat only once with a runner on. And that, therein lies the secret sauce to Shohei. Because if there's traffic on the bases, you kind of have to give him something to hit. But if there's no traffic on the bases, you can hopefully get him to hit your pitch. And you have the advantage. And that has been the secret sauce. We'll see if the Padres can do it again tonight. There's one other thing. And we talked about Manny's play. We just talked about Fernando's home run. Another play that I don't think is getting enough credit, but I loved it, was Jackson Merrill, second base, mm-hmm. and sliding in ahead of Miguel Rojas, and not allowing that to be a force play, but making everybody safe on that ground ball that was hit by Xander Bogaerts. I don't know how many times I've watched baseball over the years, but it's a lot. And whenever they hit a ground ball to shortstop with a man on first base and the shortstop runs over and tags the bag and throws to first, the runner from first is out. They don't get there to beat that play, but Jackson Merrill did. And this is another example of why I love him, you love him, and everybody in this Padre organization should love him. He doesn't take anything for granted on that play. He busts his butt to get down to second and keep, you know, add another out to the inning because he should have been out. But he wasn't because of his great hustle and desire and ability to never give up on a play. And, you know, that's it. Those were the two plays that Dave Roberts talked about after the game. Manny's base running and Merrill beating the force play because that added two outs to the inning. And we already know how good the Padres are, but you give them two extra outs, guess what? They're likely to score six runs, yeah, which is what they did.
And when Tim Flannery, by the way, tweeted out last night, if you're a baseball player at any level, please run the bases like Jackson Merrill because he runs them so well.
Yeah.
And the Padres are stealing. No, they're not stealing runs, but they're putting themselves in such good positions in this series because of their great base running. It's something that we've talked about all year, that they sometimes get a little sloppy with the base running, but really right now they are making all the right moves. They are they're taking every base that they can take when they can take it, and it's all working right now. So hopefully it stays that way.
Well, I'm going to be nice, okay, and just remind you that there's really only one Padre who scares me on the base pass.
Ha-Sung Kim?
And he's not playing right now.
He's getting shoulder surgery.
Yes, without Ha-Sung Kim, this is a great base-running team, and they have proven it in this series. So, all right, we'll take a little time out here. When we come back, Jason Adam, who had the spotless seventh inning last night, has done his pregame media. Jake Cronenworth is doing his here shortly. So stick around. We'll have those live press conference or very close to live press conferences take you inside Petco Park for those coming up in just a moment after a quick break on Gwynn and Chris.
3-2, Suarez delivers, Luck swings and misses, strike three. Suarez and the Padres have beat L.A., and they take a 2-1 lead in the National League Division Series.
Tonight, the Padres hope to close it out for the second time in the last 3 years. We welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and, of course, Matt Scraby back in our Odyssey Palace studios. We should update you on the other goings-on in playoff baseball, the Phillies and the Mets. Now, the Mets are trying to clinch that series this afternoon in New York. New York is up 2-1. And bottom of the first inning today, the Mets loaded the bases, but Ranger Suarez got out of it, and they're now in the top of the second inning. No score between the Phillies and the Mets. Jose Quintana is pitching this game for New York. And the other game in the American League, the Detroit Tigers are completely, once again, shutting down the Cleveland Guardians. It is 3-0 Detroit. They're going to the bottom of the eighth inning. Cleveland has not scored now in the last 17 innings of the last two games. They were shut out in game two, were the Guardians 3-0. And they're down 3-0 in this game. The Tigers have done this today by using five different pitchers in a bullpen day. Yeah, five different pitchers in a bullpen day. The Guardians don't have a single extra base hit. The Guardians are 0-for-8 hitting with runners in scoring position. I bring that up because I think a lot of us, Scraby, and I'm as guilty as anyone right now, a lot of us fans, people around San Diego, anyone following this series, think that tonight is kind of already a done deal. After all, the Padres are using Dylan Cease. You know he's going to come back, pitch much better in game two or game four, as it is, his second start. He's going to pitch better in game four than he did in game one. And even if he doesn't, the Dodgers are going with a bullpen game. So the Padres have to put up a bunch of runs against that, right?
I hope.
Not necessarily, you know, and that's the thing that I'm just a little worried about. I think we feel like, you know, we swept them the three straight games 2 years ago after losing the first game of the series, so we're going to do it again. And, you know, I know that's what we're all thinking, but I don't think the Padres are dumb enough to fall into that trap. You've still got to go out and play another great game tonight.
I mean, obviously you do. And the guys in the clubhouse aren't thinking any different. The whole time last night they were saying it's you know, we still have one more game. And Mike Schilt said, doesn't matter if we win two games, we have to win three games. So they, you know, Mike Schilt has taught me a lot about his managerial style and how he has prepared the team. And Mike Schilt is preparing the team with a mindset of, we're just going to keep playing until they tell us we can raise the World Series trophy over our head. And they're going to be prepared every single time that they play. I mean, those little things that, like, Manny did in the base paths are a reason that this team has made it as far as it has, because it does the little things.
Yeah, it's done them all year. And, you know, again, you look for weaknesses on this Padre team. I don't see any weaknesses on this Padre team, from starting pitching to bullpen to defense, individual defense all over the diamond. I thought maybe first base defense, you could find a crack there. But Luis Arraez has played tremendous first base, especially last night. He dug out at least two or three throws.
Yeah, he's been really good at first base.
And made a couple of good short hop pickups. I mean, Arraez has been really, really, you know, good over there, knock on wood. You know, hang on.
It's as close to wood
as I can go, whatever this chair is here. But, you know, look, Arraez is playing great. Higashioka's doing an amazing job behind the plate. You know, Cronenworth, how about the play Bogaerts made last night on that scorching line drive that he one-hopped on a backhand? I mean, that was a major league shortstop play that he made. We know Manny's the greatest of all time over there at third.
Mm-hmm.
Profar almost stole another home run from Mookie Betts last night. What were the odds of that happening, by the way?
I mean, it touched his glove. It was right there.
What were the odds of that happening, that for a second consecutive game, Mookie Betts would hit a ball toward the left field seats and Jerickson Profar would have a chance to catch it? And then, of course, the crazy thing was that Mookie Betts thought for sure he caught it and turned and started running into the dugout. They had to tell him. Even Michael King told Mookie Betts.
He was like,
no, that's
a
home
run. I saw that too.
Yeah, Michael King had to tell Mookie Betts, no, you just hit a home run off me. Go run around the bases. I don't know if I've ever seen that before, but I know I've never seen back-to-back games of the same hitter almost being robbed of a home run by the same fielder. That was incredible.
Astronomical, and I think.
The odds are astronomical. They just absolutely are. And, you know, look, when Mookie Betts comes up in the first inning tonight, Jerickson Profar ought to just go sit in the second row.
I mean,
just wait for the ball.
And no one knew in the stadium either what had happened, because Jerickson had already fooled us once. And so we're all waiting for him to, like, pull the rabbit out of the hat and have the ball. But he didn't have it. You know, Michael King last night, he obviously wasn't his sharpest, but I do think, as you said in the open, it's very important to recognize that right after he gave up that grand slam, which could have been a soul-crushing grand slam for the Padres, he locked it down. I think he had the next eight batters he retired.
Yes, he did.
And
yes, he did.
Sam said this on the post game a ton of times last night, and I said it in my seat. There's no way this game ends 6-5, and it ended 6-5 after that grand slam. It's crazy.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There was no way it could end 6-5. And, you know, Michael King, to shake off a grand slam. And let me tell you something, Scrabian. I don't need to, you know, he would tell you the exact same thing. Not to, you know, Teoscar Hernandez still had to hit the ball. But that was a terrible pitch. Like, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was a sweeper
that
was like sitting on a tee, on a platter.
Yes.
For Hernandez to hit out of the ballpark. So, you know, to come back from that disappointment and knowing that a 6-1 lead you just turned into 6-5, and then get the next eight guys, man, that's huge. That was huge.
It is.
And I know Michael King is not getting credit for, he got the win, so he'll always have that. But I'll always remember, you know, him being able to battle back after that disappointment, and that shows you a lot.
It does. It shows me a lot about Michael King. It shows me a lot about this team. But I'm getting increasingly not nervous or worried, but this is a big game. I just want the Padres, as everybody does, to make sure they don't have to go play in L.A. on Friday.
Yeah, I think everybody wants the same thing, but, you know, we can be nervous. I don't think the guys are going to be nervous, and they obviously can't afford to be. So, you know, look, you're going to have to go out. You're going to have to play a great game. I said the same thing in the Braves series. I'm going to say the same thing right now. Dodgers are not, repeat, are not going to step aside for the Padres' coronation. I mean, they are going to – I got to believe the Dodgers are going to play one of the most desperate games they've ever played. Because not only is this series at stake for them, but three consecutive years of just ultimate failure are on the line here.
You
right?
know, Shohei Ohtani, we talked about him. I mean, he needs to, if he doesn't pick it up, he needs to be criticized by the media. He's the highest paid baseball player in the league. You have to show up to series like this. There's no question as to whether or not you can have an off series if they
lose. With Shohei that he has not been able to do in this series yet is pitch, but he hasn't been able to steal a base. He hasn't been on first base with a chance to run, and the Dodgers could really use that tonight, but let's just hope it doesn't happen. All right, we're going to continue now some of our pregame press conferences. Jason Adam met with the media a short while ago here at Petco Park. Here is the Padres reliever.
What do you make of the way this whole bullpen has come together? Maybe not so much from a numbers and what you've done, what you've accomplished wise, but just in terms of the group and the collective ability to kind of take the roles that you're asked to do.
Yeah, it's a great group. I mean, really cohesive, and I could see that just from day one when we got traded over here. They welcomed Tanner, Bijo, myself in incredibly well. There's no big egos out there. Everybody just wants to do whatever it takes to win a ball game. That whether that's pitching in the fifth or pitching in the ninth, we really don't care. We just want to get the dub at the end of the day.
Who was instrumental in making that happen?
Oof, I think it has to be the whole group. I think Fritz out there does a great job setting the tone, and then obviously like having Suarez at the back end, closing out games all year long, and just so he's kind of, you know, he would be the top dog in a bullpen, you know, and he could carry that around and lord it over you, you know, like some people do, but he doesn't. He's just one of the guys, does his job incredibly well, but pushes us all to do it well too.
Hey Jason, when you traded the Padres, you might have had some impressions from a distance, like what you'd heard, and you knew they invested money and they had some big contracts and NLCS a couple of years ago. But beyond what you saw from a distance, what did you learn when you got here that you didn't realize about this whole group?
Yeah, what blew me away, because you know the names, you know, it's certainly like more star power than I had in Tampa. But what blew me away was the quality of teammates. So whether it's Manny, Bogey, Joe, everybody. But I didn't realize how good, like how intentional they are with leading the team, how focused like this team is. And I've been on too many teams because I was bad for so many years, but I've been on a lot of teams, and I've never seen a team so sold out for winning a ball game, and selling even when they're not doing personally well, but the team's doing well. So I think that was like the top thing that everyone's like, how's it over there? I'm like, it's crazy. Like everyone's all in on the team first mentality.
Hey Jason, what has impressed you most in watching Dylan Cease in the time you've been together?
I love his arm action, I think he's really teachable. I think so. Like he's as good as he is, and as good as he's been for how many years now. He's picking my brain about pitching. He's picking everybody's brain, and he's always wanting to get better. He's got that ace mentality. He knows he's good, but he's not settling for where he's at now. And I mean, his stuff's electric. The fastball rides like crazy. The breaking ball is all. Everyone knows that. But yeah, I like watching him, how committed he is to getting better at his craft.
And what was your perception of San Diego as a baseball town before you got here compared to the experience that you've had, especially now the last week or so?
I had heard, like, so I played here once before as a visitor, and loved it. But I didn't realize, like, Tuesday night, sold out crowd. It doesn't matter who we're playing. It's the best atmosphere I've ever got to play in, night in and night out. obviously, especially so in these playoff games. But yeah, it's an incredible baseball town. So I'm really happy that and really want to keep winning for the fans here because they've done a great job for us.
Jason, what's the conversation of mentality like in that bullpen tonight when you have Dylan Cease going on short rest and wanting to avoid having to play that fifth game in Los Angeles?
Yeah, we're focused. I think the nature of all playoff games, especially like possible clinch games, you know they might launch the bullpen early, but we expect Cease to do what Cease does, and that's go deep and dominate hitters. So there's comfort in that, but we're stretching earlier in the playoffs and we're ready early, and just go do our job whenever we're called on. But yeah, I'm excited to watch Cease work.
Hey, Jason, coming from Tampa, the guys that play there, you know, love it. It's so comfortable. Mm-hmm. When they leave, they kind of struggle a little bit sometimes or just try to get acclimated. Did it take any time for you to get acclimated just from, you know, the small crowds and how comfortable it is there to this?
No, honestly, no. I felt at home right away. And like you said, I love Tampa. Everyone that goes through there loves it. They do a great job. So nothing but good things to say there. But yeah, I think with Ruben welcoming me in and just getting right on board with our pitching plan, the teammates, everyone, I think having everybody that's just so on board with winning a ball game, that doesn't change. You know, big crowd, small crowd, if you're sold out to win a ball game, you can keep your mind focused on the task at hand. But it certainly is a lot of fun going out there in front of all these fans and the big atmosphere and all that.
Jason Adam, we found this out during the regular season once he got to San Diego, Scrabe, and we had him on a Friar Friday. He's awesome to talk to. And everyone else found out that today. I mean, just sharing so much in that pregame press conference here at Petco Park. That was Jason Adam, the Padre reliever. Padres and Dodgers, it's game four. It's coming up tonight, a little after 6 o'clock. Dylan Cease will pitch. Has anyone, Scrabe, I'm here at the ballpark. Have you seen, have the Dodgers had to at least announce who's actually going to start the game?
Yes, I believe they have. Let me just double check to make sure.
I'm trying to find out, and I'm not. Let me see.
Brazier.
Orion Brazier. Yeah, Brazier.
Yes.
All right, so Brazier, who pitched very well in relief in the first game, not so well in relief in the second game. Right-hander will start for the Dodgers on their bullpen day today. All right, so that's good to know. I don't know what it's going to change anything. The Mets may rue the opportunities they just had, Scrabe. Left the bases loaded in the first inning, left the bases loaded in the second inning. So still no score between the Phillies and the Mets as they go to the third inning in New York with the Mets trying to clinch there. Tigers have finished off the Guardians 3-0 the final. Detroit, yeah, the Tigers have a 2-1 lead over Cleveland. Padres, is today the day? Do we get to party again in the gas lamp? Hour number two of Gwynn and Chris is coming right up on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.